Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the broadcast today. I'd like to minister for a little bit on our divine birthright. Do you know that you and I, as children of God, have a divine birthright? What does a birthright mean? Well, it means a right, a privilege, or a possession to which a person is entitled by birth. By being born into a particular family, for example, there's a birthright that comes along with the very fact of being born into that family. And you and I, beloved, have a divine birthright from God. And Satan he's hated man from the beginning, and he has always wanted to rob man of that birthright. He wants people to despise that birthright, to make it a light thing. But beloved, if we can understand what God has reserved for us, that divine birthright we do have from God, we should praise God. Let's read a little bit out of the book of Genesis, the 25th chapter. There were two sons born to Rebekah, the wife of Isaac. At verse 27 says, "And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. And Jacob sowed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, 'Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint.' Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, 'Sell me this day thy birthright.' And Esau said, 'Behold, I'm at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do me?' And Jacob said, 'Swear to me this day.' And he sware unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink, and he rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright." What do we see here? Esau thought he was dying, and he decided, since he was at the point of death, he might as well sell his birthright. But really, what did he sell? Think about this. This is what Esau's birthright was. God had given Abraham a promise that in his seed, all the families of the earth should be blessed. Now, this promise was far greater than just natural birthright. Galatians 3:16 tells us that this promise really involved the birth of the Messiah, of Jesus Christ. Paul states, "Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made." Remember? I mean, Isaac, Esau, Jacob, they were all the heirs of Abraham. "He saith not, and to seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ." The seed of Abraham, in particular, refers to the one who would redeem man from his lost and fallen condition and restore him to true relationship with God. In Malachi, that very first chapter, the word says, "The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. I have loved you, saith the Lord, yet ye say, 'Wherein hast thou loved us?' Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord? Yet I loved Jacob, and I hated Esau, and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness." Now, those are some very strong words, but as we look at the very actions of Esau, in essence, we see he was controlled by his own carnal nature, which was being motivated by the spirit of Satan. In essence, he was saying, what do I need a birthright that would make me dependent upon God? I'm independent. I'm self-sufficient. I'm my own man. He was a wonderful hunter. He could go into the forest and secure his own dinner. That's why his father Isaac so looked up to him. But Jacob was what a lot of people might call today a mama's boy. He stayed at home. He helped her with the cooking. You might say he was kind of tied to his mother's apron strings, so much so that he actually didn't even look for a wife until he was 70 years old. But nonetheless, it's important to understand the spiritual dynamic that was going on with these two boys. Esau didn't have any time for a birthright. He didn't see it as important or significant. He didn't need such a thing. The Bible says God hated Esau. Why? Why? Because God can do nothing with a person who will not submit to him. And he can't do anything with a person that will not confess that he needs anything from God. Isn't that a picture of the world today? Self-sufficient, the religion of humanism that is so pervasive. We're just getting better and better. We're evolving to greater intellect and technological skill and knowledge, and we can basically solve all our problems. We just need a little bit of time and money, and we've got the expertise. We can make things right, except for the fact, with all this increase of knowledge, the world is worse off than it's ever been. Esau rejected God's grace. He despised his birthright. And many today, even though Romans tells us the natural man can perceive the things of God by the world around him, the things that God has made, so they're without excuse. Nonetheless, man wants to be their own God. They believe that they can evolve into, where science is taking research today, it's actually frightening, where they're talking about transhumanism. They're talking about blending man and animal and robots and different animals. It's over the edge because they have no moral compass. And beloved, God can't do anything with a person that rejects his birthright. One who is eaten up with the spirit of Esau, they can do it on their own. One of the saddest things is even some Christians can be easily challenged to give up their birthright, as it were, not their salvation, but that which God has called them to. Beloved, we have a high calling, and so many are living in the mullygrubs of despair. They're living so far beneath their position in Christ Jesus. Listen, beloved, God can and will help that person when that person is willing to come to a place of total despair, when he ceases to be impressed with what he is and just throws overboard all his expectation of himself. God loved Jacob. Jacob knew he wasn't worth much. He knew he was a deceiver. That was what his name meant. He probably thought he was a worthless person. I can almost hear him alone at night talking to God. God, can you help me? Can you do anything with a person like me? One writer has said, God does not love you for what the flesh makes of your human personality, but he does love you for what Christ can make of your human personality. But God can only begin when we admit our need of Christ. And Esau never admitted this need. In Obadiah, that book of the Old Testament, in the fourth verse, it says, though thou exalt thyself, he's speaking of Edom, as the eagle, and though thou set thy nest among the stars, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord. In verse 6, how are the things of Esau searched out? How are his hidden things sought up? Verse 8, shall I not in that day, saith the Lord, even destroy the wise men out of Edom, and understanding out of the mount of Esau? And thy mighty men, O Teman, shall be destroyed, to the end that every one of the mount of Edom may be cut off by slaughter. Verse 10, for thy violence against thy brother Jacob, shame shall cover thee, and thou shalt be cut off forever. Beloved, if we reject our birthright, we will be at war against God. But if we'll discipline our heart and our lips and continue to confess, I will be victorious in this thing. Whatever that battle is, we will have the victory. It's essential that we take the Lord's strength for our weakness. In ourselves, we know we have weakness. We know our weaknesses. Paul was very aware of his weaknesses. He said, when he was weak, then he was strong with the Lord's strength. You know, it's so sad that we talk about our problems with such despair and such hopelessness when the Word says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Isaiah 53:5 tells us, with his stripes, we are healed. Our physical bodies, our emotional nature, all that we are, God provided a complete atonement through the Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved, Psalm 27:1 tells you and me that the Lord is the strength of our life. How can we continue to talk defeat when the Bible says in Romans 8:37 that we are more than conquerors through Christ? How can we confess, you know, we're not going to make it, we're going under financially, when the Bible says in Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory? How can we continue to talk bondage when the Bible says the Son has made you free? John 8:36. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. Beloved, you and I have a wonderful eternal birthright, and let us now walk worthy of that heritage that God has given to us, beloved. Well, my time has gone so quickly, and I must bring this broadcast to a close. I thank you for joining me today. And if you have prayer needs, I invite you to write. The announcer will give our contact information. You can email or drop me a note, and I will confirm receipt of your email, but I send a letter of personal ministry via the mail. So I invite you to just share your prayer needs, and I will pray personally for you. God bless you. I love you. Thank you for joining me. And until next time, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh, behold.